One of the problems with this law of unintended consequences, getting back to that, is our land values, because we have been finally curtailed. This is not a threat anymore. This is the reality. And so forevermore, my land now has a curtailment notice against it. And so it's kind of you're now unclean or unfit. And so this is going to affect my property values, especially if the state doesn't do something in the next legislative session or something or other to solve that water insecurity problem that we got. And so this will trickle on down to debt to income ratios of the farmers. The bankers will definitely not like this, because this will change how everything's valued and worth, and what they can loan against a farmer, because his land is suddenly not worth as much. And this is where this is no longer a threat. This is the reality. They did it. They pulled that trigger. And so we are sitting here looking at it. As we joked between me and my brother and I that I farm with, Robert, Matt Weaver has said that he only has this tool left to curtail us. This is the last tool in his toolbox. And we likened it to a hammer. And you don't fix many things with a hammer. You fix things with wrenches, you know, with other tools. Yeah, you can beat something up with a hammer, but you're certainly not going to fix it.
That one move has put so many people in jeopardy.
It's put all of East Idaho in jeopardy. Yep. State, just the last few years, and this is one of the death nails of this agreement that made it to where it was not able to do it, changed it to transient state, and which suddenly, to produce 70,000 acre feet of water, we had to curtail 1 million acre feet of water, which is basically 500,000 acres, because they took the time out of it. Before, we had forever basically to get the water into the aquifer. Well, I wouldn't say forever, you know, a shorter time period. Now we have to get it there immediately. And that's why the curtailment's so large. Before, the water rights that were being impacted were in the high 70s. You know, the 1970s. Now, with this new model and new methodology is the actual term, that's why it brought it down to 1954, and that's why it's impacting basically the whole East Idaho Plains.
Let's talk for a second about some of the support that you've received. And last segment, I spoke with Paul Baker, the CEO mm-hmm. of the Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
You two got to meet as he was leaving here. He wrote a powerful letter. Is there a part of that letter that really stands out for you?
I love his, the sky is really falling, because unfortunately, this is what the Department of Water Resources has done back to this water insecurity. Is there have been quite a few of us who say the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And we have kind of had to endure the Chicken Little scenario.
I bet.
And with the state now issuing this curtailment, the sky is really falling. This is no longer a myth. This is no longer a story. This is no longer hysteria. It's happened.
Do you have any idea, Brian, as to maybe a timeline? Because we don't have a lot of time to waste.
Probably the best way to look at it is steps. Step one is we got to get the curtailment order lifted. Governor Little, he could lift it immediately. He simply has to look at Director Weaver and say, end this. And yes, that will not make the people down in Twin Falls Canal happy, but that's what's needed. But he could end it right now.
And I know you sent a letter as well, didn't you?
Sure, sure.
Share a highlight of your letter.
Well, a highlight of my letter, basically, let me probably say where the letter starts. In around 2004, we were starting to figure out that this water was going to be a very important issue. And we heard that there was a meeting about the water issues going to be down in southern Idaho in Twin Falls. And so me and my brother, Robert, went down to it. And we wanted to attend this meeting to see what was being said, because we didn't really understand what was going on. And the canal manager of the Twin Falls Canal at that time was this fellow named Vince Alberti. And we got done with the meeting, and it was obvious that they were a little upset with what was coming on, you know, what they were being told, that we were taking all their water. We were this canal manager, when we went and finally kind of milled around and everyone was wondering who we were, because like I said, Idaho's not that big. We stood out like sore thumbs because we weren't from Twin Falls and nobody knew us. And so he eventually came over to us and asked us who we were. And we said, well, we're a couple of farmers from East Idaho. And at that point in time, he got very upset with us. In fact, he sat and thumped my brother. He's not a real tall fellow. And he sat and thumped my brother in the chest and said, I will not be happy until your pumps are pulled, they have cement pulled in, and your water rights are dead.
Wow.
And your ground is back to desert.
And, ooh, that's ugly.
And we just kind of backpedaling as about as hard as we were. And of course, there was only the two of us in this meeting, and we were kind of, let's go.
Yeah, right.
And we left. But to me, I've known that this was the goal ever since 2004. You talk about the Chicken Little syndrome. We have told that story several times to several people. And it's like, oh, they're really not trying to do that. Now is the proof that is exactly what they're trying to do.
Well, Brian, truly eye-opening. What are some solutions?
Well, the solutions are Idaho's got to take a different look at the problem. The problem is we do have surface water users down in Twin Falls who at times, especially during drought, are without water. That's legitimate. If this was, I would feel really bad if I knew that there was farmers down in Twin Falls who were short of water. This year, there is nobody down in Twin Falls short of water. We have so much water, we don't even know where to put it. In fact, that's the solution, because we have to start coming up with ways to keep the water. We are flushing literally 644,000 acre feet, that's at least one total I've heard lately, out to the sea that we're not getting any use of. That is almost, well, that is half of the water in Palisades Reservoir right now we are losing. And this is where we need to take a page out of, for instance, St. George, Utah. They decided they only had a little trickle going through there, and they wanted to see some growth, and so they built two dams, Sand Hollow Reservoir later. You know, the first one was Quail Creek Reservoir, excuse me. And those two dams have allowed St. George to grow. And this is one of the problems that Idaho, since the Teton Dam, we've decided we don't want to build dams anymore in Idaho. And I understand that, but we're not in 1975 anymore. We have a lot better technology, we have a lot better understanding, and we have a lot better dam building skills. And we can build small dams, and we can do stuff off main tributaries to where it's not so impactful, but we got to get to where we're holding on to more water in this upper valley than we currently are. I call it the pie theory. Rather than we look at it, we only have one cherry pie and we all got to divide it up because that's all we got and we can't, there's no more. And so this is one of the problems that we got to bake another pie.
So true. Let's stop the bickering and get down to the solutions. Well, Brian Murdoch, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us and bring some clarity to this water curtailment, I'm going to say disaster. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'll continue following the latest developments on this story. That'll do it for me. Have a great weekend. Lars is next.